And of course, we need to do it all over this enormous continent, from the University of New England in New South Wales, where Dr. James O'Hanlon does his research, through to the Simpson Desert, where Eloise Gibb goes to find her favourite ants. And did you know that it's the world's largest sand dune desert?
Yeah, it really is a very sandy place. There are huge sand dunes, and depending on the year, there can be amazing flowering vegetation, or it can look not quite as impressive if it's a drought year. But the colours are absolutely beautiful.
And so what sort of plants manage to survive there under such harsh conditions?
The plants that can survive there are usually shrubs. There are some smaller trees in the swale areas, and there are parts where there's a little bit more water in the landscape, so you can get some eucalypts as well.
So there's enough there, obviously, to keep the ants and various other creatures going.
Yeah, so there's always some vegetation, something to keep other species going, but that varies a lot depending on the rainfall.
When I first saw the news of your research being published, it was under the headings of Insect Armageddon. In other words, people suggesting yet again that the insects in general around the world are diminishing in numbers. Is that legend true?
There's certainly reports about insects declining worldwide, and this is probably true in a lot of ecosystems, particularly those that are strongly impacted by humans.
And what about Australia?
There isn't so much work in Australia, and I guess one of the reasons is that our insect fauna is very poorly documented, so we only really know about 30% of our fauna by name, and that means that we know a lot less about the ecology of those species and how they've been tracking over time. And it's also pretty rare to do long-term studies on insects, partly because of the way science is funded, and it can be very difficult to continue to return to a site over long periods of time.
And, of course, this is a gigantic continent with huge variety, but this is also just about the ant capital of the world, is it not?
Yeah, we have a really great diversity of ants in Australia, and they are really important in our ecosystem. So they play lots of important roles and very diverse and interesting.
Diverse in the sense of lots of different sorts of species and so on?
Yeah, that's right. We do have a lot of species in Australia and quite high diversity of some endemic groups, particularly groups like the one group we call the tyrant ants, which is very diverse, and we have another group, the furnace ants, which really like it in hot parts of Australia.
What do the tyrant ants do?
Tyrant ants are a very aggressive group. They tend to dominate in most ecosystems in Australia, particularly in the drier ones. And they use plant hoppers and other kinds of insects that suck sap from trees as a source of sugar. So the plant hoppers excrete the sugar and the ants consume that sugar, and that provides them with this amazing source of energy, which then allows them to be aggressive and to run around and prey on other species. And so that relationship really drives their dominance in Australian ecosystems.
And how many different species were you studying in the Simpson Desert?
We had around 80 different species of ants in the particular area that we were working in, but there would be a lot more species across the whole desert.
How are they getting on?
They're getting on maybe better than you might think. So the particular area that we worked in was purchased by a conservation agency called Bush Heritage in about 2004. In this area, we've looked at how they responded to rainfall and how their populations have changed over time. And what we found is that they really like it when it rains, so they absolutely boom when you get rainy times. And that means some of the more recent large rains have been really positive. And in fact, what we've seen is a bit of an increase in rainfall over time. And so that's meant that ants are increasing in response to that. But they do fluctuate a lot year to year, just depending on the particular rainfall.
You're implying they're adaptable.
Yeah, so ants are quite interesting because they have colonies. So they're a social insect. This means that there's a lot of workers in a colony and they all live together underground. And this means that they have the capacity to store energy a bit better than species that just act as individuals. In addition to this, because they live underground, they have a bit of flexibility in when they're active, so they can choose to be active at times that actually suit them. And so this does give them a bit more flexibility than a lot of other species that might live under those conditions.
So as climates change and circumstances change, you expect them to be able to bounce along. I'm reminded to some extent, you know, this is the old story about Armageddon, and the only thing left is about 4 billion cockroaches. species. Can we see a situation where an awful lot of other creatures do not survive, but the ants prevail?
Well, there is certainly variation in how tolerant they are. So rather than saying that you're going to get a lot of all ants under some kind of conditions, you might say that some species will do really well and others probably won't. For example, you might expect that species that need a lot of leaf litter to protect them, that require more insulating conditions for their foraging, or that are really specialised, might do worse under more challenging conditions.
When you go out there, what's it like for 2 weeks in this faraway place?
It's a real privilege to go out there. It's an amazingly beautiful place, and we've tended to time it with very good weather to avoid the extreme heat. So we go out and we camp. We've been out with about 4 people, just a couple of tents, and we're out there for 3 weeks, no showers for the whole time, and we're just getting up every day, going out and monitoring our sites and watching ants. It's really an amazing place. Just having the time to sit and watch and see what's going on really gives you some close insights into what's happening in those systems.
Eloise Gibb is an associate professor at La Trobe University in Melbourne.